I wanted us to go over some scriptures on healing. And you say, Pastor, you don't look like in shape to do that. But sometimes you just got to stand against the tide and believe what you believe. Believe God's word. And the devil is on a rampage attacking different ones. It seems like especially pastors. Just got a word to Pastor Alvin Lasher. Had to go in for surgery, and he's in complications in Belleville Hospital right now. Colon problems. And so let's believe God for him as well. We'll pray for those a little later on in the service. But it seems like the devil is just attacking pastors, Pastor Pat Wood, Pastor Dave Bobear, myself, and now Pastor Alvin Lasher and different ones. But anyway, he's defeated, and God is still on the throne. And God doesn't change God's word. See, the thing is, don't build your doctrines around people's experiences. You know what I mean? Some people say, well, you know, I used to believe in healing until grandfather died, and I don't believe in it anymore. But that's a poor excuse. You believe in healing because God says it in his word. You always go back to the word, and you stay with the word. Okay? And I remember telling a story here one time, and I was listening to it a while ago again. And the guy in England, and he went to pray for somebody in the hospital. And when he got in there, they said he's unconscious, and everybody was saying, you know, and this fellow's supposed to be hearing from the Lord. And everybody's all excited. We're going to get him to go in and pray for so-and-so in the hospital. So he went and prayed for him. And as he got into the hospital, he went in and just prayed a very simple prayer over the man. The man was still unconscious, never felt anything different, never saw anything happen, and, you know, anything like this, and he just walked out. And when he got out, there was a crowd of people from church outside the hospital door. And he said, well, did you hear anything from God? He said, oh, yes. And he said, what do you hear? What do you hear? He said, God said, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. He said, that's what I did. Yeah, no. But did you hear anything new from God? He said, that's just as fresh as the day it was spoken. And that's still God's word. And later on, he went back to the service that night, and everybody at the church was asking, did you hear anything from God when you prayed for so-and-so? He said, oh, yes. He said, I heard, he said, that they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And he said, I did that. He said, I just believe in God. And so anyway, they went on with the service. Everybody was kind of disappointed at it. And just before the service got over, the pastor came and mentioned to the speaker, to the guest speaker, he said, I got some bad news. He said, the man just passed away in the hospital. He said, well, he said, I just believe what God said in his word, he said. So he said he went back to his hotel room and went to sleep and different things. And throughout the night, got up and go into the next morning session that they had at the conference or he was speaking at. And they said, did you hear the news about Brother So-and-so last night? He said, yeah. He said, the pastor told me, he said, just before the service got over, he said, he passed away. Oh, no. He said, a couple hours after that, he just revived again and came back to life. And, you know, he's doing fine. And so the thing is, you stick with God's word. See, what happens a lot of times, we get caved in when we see things happening. We get nervous when we see things getting, you know, it looks like things are getting worse and, you know, all these different things. And, you know, when you're going through things, you got plenty of time. The devil will give you plenty of opportunities to get negative. And but you just got to keep your mind upon what God said in his word and stand on the word of God. So we're going to look at some scriptures this morning. And I trying to think of a title for it. And I don't even know if this is a good title. But anyway, God's will concerning healing. Now, you might disagree with this statement out here, or is it a question anyway, so you can't disagree with it. You figure it yourself at the end of it. Is it God's will to heal everyone of all diseases, everywhere, all the time? Is it God's will to heal everyone of every disease, everywhere, all the time? Okay? Some are going like this and some are going like this, so we got a good question there anyway. But anyway, we're going to look at some scriptures. And all this is today is just scriptures. Okay, we're just going through some scriptures. And I don't know how far we'll get. And Steve, maybe I can borrow your stool if I need it a little later on. And anyway, God is still good. I'm going to start out back here. This is Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. This is the first time God ever revealed himself as a healer. And we thank God for that, and because he had no reason to do that. Honestly, he wanted us to know it. And he wanted us to know that he's a healer. And so anyway, He said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his sight and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, which are put, I will put none of those diseases upon thee which are brought upon the Egyptians. Then he says, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. This is the second time that healing is mentioned in Scripture. The first time it's mentioned is when Abraham prayed for Abimelech. And he was the guy that was the king of Philistia at the time. And remember, Abraham lied about his wife and different things going on there. And finally, when he brought his wife back, the Bible says Abraham prayed for Abimelech, and God healed him. And but this is the second time it's mentioned, and this is about 400 years later. And God mentioned that he's the healer of his people. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Psalm 103, I'm just giving a couple ones here, and then we're going to scoot off and go into Matthew chapter 8 for a while. You ever, when you're youngsters, you know, we used to live right down by the water, the bay, we used to call it, in Newfoundland, and ever so often we'd go out, and, you know, when you get a calm, clear, mirror like water, we'd go out and we'd start skipping rocks in the water. You ever do that? Sometimes you hit, and then you get a skim, and then you hit. That's what we're going to do in the sermon this morning. We're just going to hit a couple right here. Then we're going to skim for a while through Matthew chapter 8, and we're going to skip, and finish it up. Okay? So you know where we're going. The psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Well, let's bow together in prayer and ask God's direction as we get into this. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit. So thankful, Lord, for your word and for what Jesus accomplished for us. And Father, we just ask that you would help us to understand what we see this morning. This is all your word, Lord, and we thank you for it. And Father, make it real to our spirits, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is with him. The first verse is. Then it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Now notice this. He says, all of his benefits. And he says, who forgives all thine iniquities. Nobody's got a problem that God forgives all your sins. Right? We could say, could God forgive all your sins? Oh, yes. You know. But the second part is in the same verse, in the same package. I preached a message on this years ago. Don't forget the benefits. And this, you know, sometimes you get a benefit package when you go to work and things like this, and you get different things. Well, when you receive salvation, you're not just receiving the forgiveness of your sins. Okay, salvation covers a whole lot of area. Salvation is healing, prospering, God's blessings upon you, deliverance from different things. It's all incorporated, and forgiveness of sins, obviously, is all incorporated in the package of salvation. And in this package, this is what the psalm is about, actually. He said, don't forget the benefits that are in that package. And one of the benefits, he says, God forgives all your iniquities. So every sin you've ever committed, God can forgive. You say, well, you don't know how bad I've been. You don't know how good God is. You don't know how good the blood is. And God can forgive you of all sin. But then he says, who heals all thy diseases. Right? All thy diseases. The same word all is used in both of them. All your iniquities. All your diseases. Same word. Okay, if he meant it for one, he meant it for the other, just as much. Okay, now, Psalm 107, verse 19 and 20. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses, and he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. God sent his word. Now, you can look at it different ways. He sent his word was Jesus. Jesus came to deliver us. But it's also true that he sent his word. Sometimes Jesus, when he was on the earth, he would speak, and 21 miles in a road, somebody would get healed. You know, and we've heard people and heard of times when people just here in Canada would speak, and somebody in England would be healed. You know, so God sends his word to heal. So we believe that God is a healing God, and he sends his word to heal and deliver from all their destructions. Okay, now we're starting to slide on that water. Okay, we're going to go through this for a while. Go down to Matthew chapter 28. There's three miracles in this chapter that I want us to look at. And this one here is where I got the title, really. He said, when Jesus came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. Can make me clean. Now, notice what he's saying here. If thou wilt. If you're willing, in other words. Some people are saying, well, the problem is we don't have problems with believing God can do something. regards God's power. We don't have any problem trusting in God's power. The problem we have is God's willingness to do something for me, you know, as an individual. And this is where this leper was at. He knew that Jesus could heal. He heard that Jesus was healing everywhere, obviously. And he saw all these things going on. He said, but if you're willing, or in other words, are you willing to heal me? And you know, this is the only place in Scripture when anybody ever asked God about his will concerning healing. Okay, this is the only place in Scripture where Jesus ever asked, or anyone else ever asked, concerning God's will in healing. And God's will, Jesus said, I am willing. God is willing to heal you. Okay, he's able and he's willing. So he said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So if you're here this morning and you're saying, well, you know, I know that God heals people, and I've heard of miracles and people getting healed and all these different things, but I don't really think it's for me. Get that out of your mind and start lining up with God's word. Okay? As long as you think that thoughts that God is not going to heal me, he won't heal you. Okay? And because you don't give him that freedom to. God will never force himself on anybody. And so you have to understand that God is willing to heal. And Jesus said to him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, now notice this, Jesus just healed a man. When he entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion. Now a centurion was a Roman soldier, okay, which the Jews hated. Now Jesus didn't hate him, obviously, but the Jews hated him because they were occupying their territory. And in that day, there was a lot of tension between the Jews and the Romans and different things. But anyway, this Roman soldier humbled himself enough to come to Jesus. He heard that Jesus was a healer. He came to Jesus, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Anybody ever been sick and tormented? Nobody? Yeah. I know. Sickness comes with torment. They work together. That's the devil's plan. And so this man said, he said, his servant was sick of the palsy. He's grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I'll come and heal him. See, there's no question in Jesus' mind. Jesus wants to heal. You understand it? You see this as we go down through. You never had to convince Jesus, you know, say, well, I don't have time today. Maybe tomorrow morning, you know, we'll put it into the schedule somewhere. We'll come and see what we can do. It's nothing like it. As soon as Jesus heard was somebody sick, he said, I'll come and heal him. Now this man reached up by faith, and he said, so Jairus answered and said to him, Lord, I'm not worthy that you would come to my house under my roof, but speak the word only. Remember we just said, you speak the word and something that happened down the road? He said, speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. In other words, he's saying, I know how this authority works. If you just speak it, it would happen. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now, because this man wasn't part of Israel. He wasn't part of the covenant promises or anything else. He was just coming asking Jesus to heal his servant. And I say to you that many shall come from the east and from the west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom, these are the Jewish people, shall be cast into utter darkness. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. I'm not talking about all Jewish people. But those that don't know the Lord and those that are refusing to listen to God, he said, they'll be cast into utter darkness. And there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, the same thing for anyone, not just the Jewish people. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed that very same hour. And Jesus, now notice this, so Jesus just healed a centurion, as soon as he heard a leper, as soon as he heard the centurion's servant was sick, he said, I'll come and heal him. There's no hesitation whatsoever on his part to heal. And as soon as he finished that, all of a sudden he goes to Peter's house, and when he came into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother, Peter's mother-in-law, laid and sick of a fever. I mean, everywhere Jesus was going that day, they were sick people. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. And when the evening was come, They brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And I can't remember where I put all the underlines last night. But anyway, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. Now get that? Jesus, he healed the leper. He healed the centurion's servant. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. And that night, everybody started bringing all kinds of sick people to him. Notice what he said. He said that evening, he said, verse 16 there, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, those that were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. There was not one person that had to walk away from that meeting that night without being healed. You get that? He healed all of them, every one of them. He healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, himself took our infirmities. And the word all there, I just mentioned that, but himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Okay, so Jesus, when he hung on the cross, he's talking about Isaiah chapter 53 here. When Jesus hung on the cross, Jesus was there, and what he was doing on the cross, a lot of times we just see the Easter picture of Jesus hanging on the cross, and we think, he's there because of our sins, and it was because of our sins. But also what he was doing, that Isaiah said, he was also paying the price for our healing. And this is what he's saying right here. When he was on the cross, not only did he take our sins, but he took our infirmities, our weaknesses, and he bore our sicknesses on the cross as well. So when we look at what Jesus did for us, he paid the price for our healing on the cross. And that's what Isaiah was saying. Okay, let's start skipping again. And Jesus went all about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. There's not one person that ever came to Jesus that came for healing and Jesus turned them away. Not a single person. Matter of fact, if you look through scriptures, there's more records of Jesus healing people than forgiving sin. Okay, there's more records of Jesus healing people than forgiving sin. And not once is there a negative response from Jesus concerning healing. Some people say, this sickness is on so-and-so because something they did. Or maybe there's something in their life that, nobody else knows about, and therefore God has brought this upon them. That's not what, I'm sure when there's multitudes, the Bible said there are multitudes. When there's multitudes came to Jesus, I'm sure there's a lot of people that had problems in their lives, had sins in their life, probably just had a big argument with their wife or their husband or whatever the case might be, and just cursed and swore a few minutes ago. I don't know, But anyway, they come to Jesus for healing. And he never said, I don't know about you because you've been such a rascal. I don't know. Maybe God is trying to teach you something. My father's trying to teach you something in this. Just wait until you learn your lesson and then God will heal you. Not once. See, that's religious talk. You don't find that in scripture. We find that in religion. Remember what Jesus said one time? Your traditions made God's word useless. People say, I don't understand why I can't be healed, because you believe too many wrong things. Clear out the clutter. Just believe God's word. Get back to the basics. And don't believe stuff just because you've heard it all your life and just because it sounds religious and things like this. Believe it because it's in God's word. And this is he healed all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases among the people. And I'm sure there's people came with him with all kinds of ailments. A lot of them he brought on themselves. There's people sometimes that brought things on themselves because of their lifestyle and everything else, and they're sick and different things. And they say, you got what you deserve. Don't expect God to heal you. That's a lie. That's religion again. That's religion. Jesus said, he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Okay, so we got to get back to God's word and just believe God's word alone. Not religious talk, not foolishness, traditions, everything else, because that chokes God's word in our lives. Let's believe just a pure word of God. And so Jesus healed all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases in Mark chapter 4 there. And his fame went throughout all Syria. Now get this. And they brought unto him all the sick people. All sick people that were taken with divers diseases, different kinds of diseases and torments. And those which were possessed with devils. And those which were lunatic. I think I had all them underlined, yeah. Those that were lunatic, and those that had palsy, And what happened? He healed them. He never said, you know, well, you know, just hold on for a while now. You got to hobble around for the next 4 years before God is ready to heal you. He never said anything like that. He healed them. There's never a question. When Jesus, when he found somebody sick, he said, I'll come and heal them. You know? And Jairus, when his daughter, 12 years old, you know, she was sick. And Jesus said, I'll come and heal her. You know? It's just over and over and over, Jesus wants to heal people. He's the one that revealed himself to us as our healer. We just read that in Exodus chapter 15, 26. I am the Lord that healeth. You know, not the Lord that makes you sick. A lot of people think, you know, well, this sickness, is it from God or is it from the devil? I can just settle that for you right away. It's from the devil. It's not from God. You see, Jesus said one time, because people are accusing him. You see how twisted we are sometimes. But the people were accusing Jesus when he would heal people. They said he's doing that by the power of the devil. And Jesus said if Satan was working against himself, in other words, signifying that sickness was part of Satan's kingdom. He said if Satan was working against himself, he said his kingdom can't stand. And the very same thing, if God was the one that made him sick and Jesus was the one to make him healing, giving him healing, they'd be working against, Jesus would be working against the Father. You know Jesus is a destroyer. I saw this a while ago. I was just reading just instantly. Remember Jesus said one time in John chapter 10, verse 10. He said, the thief comes for no other reason but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He said, I've come, you might have life and have it more abundantly. But notice what he said, the thief is a destroyer. Over in 1 John, he talks about Jesus. He said, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The devil came to make people sick, to bring curses upon people, to cause all kinds of problems. Jesus came to destroy everything the devil was doing. Jesus is a destroyer in that sense. We got to understand that. We got to understand what God says about Jesus and what God says about healing and what God says about it. Get religious thinking out of our mind and just get back to the Word of God. A lot of people do the same thing with salvation. They got all kinds of ideas in their mind. If I take communion enough, if I pay my tithe enough, if I go to church enough, I'll be okay. If I can just balance it out, I'll be okay. That's religious talk. That's not the Word of God. The only way to be saved is through the blood of Christ. And we got to understand that. And people do the same with healing. We bring in all these different religious ideas and we choke out the truth of God's Word. And we had to understand that when all these different people came to Jesus, divers diseases, all kinds of diseases, that's what we talked about when we asked the first question there. All kinds of diseases, all the time. You tell me one time when Jesus says no. One time when Jesus walks away and won't heal somebody. You won't find it in Scripture. You find it in religious talk. You find people talk, you don't come to all these. See, what happened? We pray sometime, and because we don't see the result as we thought we would see, and we don't see people healed, or we don't see this take place, or we don't see the answer in the time frame that we thought it was going, we come up with an excuse or a reason why it never worked, and we make that our new belief. Instead of getting back to God's Word and say, listen, God's Word, if there's a problem, the problem's on this end. It's never on God's end. Okay, so let's not blame stuff on God and say, well, you know, God is just trying to teach you something. You don't find that in Scripture. Not one place did Jesus ever say, the Father's trying to teach you something, so I can't heal you yet. Never see that in Scripture. That's religion. Matthew chapter 12. Then he said to the man, stretch forth your hand. Jesus went into the synagogue one day, and there was a man there with a withered hand. Jesus told him to stand out in the aisle, and he said, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched forth his hand and restored whole like as the other. And when the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. You imagine? Jesus just healed a man and made people so mad they wanted to kill him. Why? Because he did it on the Sabbath day. They're caught up so much in religion that they don't care about people anymore. You know, some people, when they get saved, their friends will say, oh, Bill got religion. If that's all you got, you don't have much. You know, religion is the worst thing in the world. God hates religion. Religion keeps people. As a matter of fact, that's what religion means. Go back into bondage. That's what the word religion means. Back or again into bondage. And that's what religion is. God hates religion. Because you see what's going on in the world today because of religion. If people want to get a relationship with God, what a difference through Jesus. What a difference. But anyway, and when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence. And notice this, and great multitudes followed him. Okay, he just healed a man. The religious world got mad at him, were going to kill him. But yet for all the common folk, the Bible tells us the common folk received him gladly. And the Bible says great multitudes followed him. What did Jesus do? You know, he didn't get turn around and say, no, I can't heal you, man. I get in too much trouble. What did he say? Or what did he do? The Bible says he healed them. Everywhere Jesus went, he was healing people. Not once did he turn people away and say, well, you know, I can't heal you. Don't have time, not interested, too tired, things like that. Jesus was always there to heal people. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude. Again, here's another great multitude. Now, I don't know how many were in that great multitude. It could have been 50 people, could have been 100 people, could have been 2,000 people. I don't know. But it was a great multitude of mixed people, obviously. And he was moved with compassion toward them. And what did he do? He healed their sick. Nobody had to ask him to do it. Nobody had to, you know, convince him to do it. Jesus came to be a healer. And everywhere he went, he was healing people. Constantly, always healing people. Again, Matthew chapter 15, verse 30 and 31. And great multitudes came unto him. See, here's another great big crowd is coming to him. And again, they got the divers manners of diseases and divers manners of sicknesses and lunatics and everything else is all there in that group of people. Those that are demon-possessed and all these different things that are going on. And he said, a great multitude came unto him, having with him those who were lame, those that were blind, those that were dumb, those that were maimed, many others. See, you say, well, you know, my sickness is not in there, but then he says, and many others came in that group and cast them down at Jesus' feet. And notice this, and he healed them. He healed them. Not one person had to walk away without healing. You know, there is one place where it's mentioned in Scripture, the presence of God, the power of God, rather, was present to heal them. But they would not receive it because of their unbelief. That's the only thing that would stop it. But if you keep your trust in God and keep believing in the Word of God, there's healing there. The Bible says, and he healed them insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak and the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. See, healing brings glory to God. Sickness doesn't. Some people say, oh, I'm suffering this for the glory of God. No, you're not. You're foolish. Honestly, you're stupid. You might get mad at me for saying that, but you think along that line, you're totally being brainwashed by the devil and by religion. You're not suffering for God when it comes to sickness and disease. Okay? You're suffering for the devil. You never stop and think about this. The only person that wants you sick is the devil. You ought to be sick? Your loved ones don't want you to be sick. Anybody with half sense don't want you to be sick. The only person who wants you sick is the devil. And we say, well, God is doing it. No, God is not doing it. God is a healer. He revealed himself as a healer. He didn't reveal himself as the one that makes people sick. He said, I'm the Lord that heals. You understand that? You know, when God created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, everything was good. Right? Everything was absolutely perfect. I mean, there was no sickness, no disease, no corruption of any kind until Adam broke God's law. Just a very simple thing. Don't eat the fruit. I mean, how hard can that get? You know? But Adam, you know the story. Adam broke that rule. And God told him, he said, Adam, the day you do that, he said, you'll die. In other words, he's saying to Adam, he said, Adam, the day you do that, you'll unleash such a floodgate of hell on the planet. Please don't eat that fruit. And Adam knew the difference, went out and ate it anyway, and opened up the door. And you just turn over to the next page. Brothers are killing brothers, and all of a sudden things are starting to happen. You know, corruption and all these different things are in the world. And you know, every page you turn after, it gets worse and worse and worse and worse, and God is sending a flood and just clean it all up again. He said, man's heart has become so wicked. You know, that's a different teaching. We went through all that before, but different dispensations and different things that took place in Scripture. But anyway, Jesus healed him, and it glorified God. The healing brought glory to God. Matthew chapter 21, verse 13 and 14. He said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Now notice this. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple. What did he do? Get mad and drive them out too? No. He healed them. Everywhere you go, everywhere you look in Scripture, Jesus is healing people. Mark chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. You say, Pastor, you just got your Matthew. We got to go through all of these? Not so many of these, because some of these are, you know, the Gospels tell the same story, so there's no point in putting the Scripture back in there twice and things like this, but some of these here we just touch on. And they went out and preached that men should repent. This is when Jesus sent out the 12. And they cast out many devils, and notice this, and anointed with oil many that were sick, and healed them. See, even the disciples, Jesus gave them power, his followers, the apostles, to go out and heal the sick. He wants people well. God doesn't want you sick anymore than you want to be sick yourself. God wants you healed. Okay? You say, Pastor, you're a good one to speak about that. Listen, healing is on his way. I believe that from the bottom of my boots. And he said unto, Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, he said unto them, Go into all the world. Now notice this. Go into all the world. You say, well, no, that's only when Jesus was on the earth these healings took place. That's only when the apostles were on the earth these healings took place. Well, Jesus said, go into all the world. That's for our day. This is what we call the Great Commission. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. In other words, every person. Okay, every person needs to hear the gospel. Okay, now what is the gospel? What is the gospel all about? Okay, now notice this. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. That's part of the gospel. Okay, water baptism is part of the gospel. Believing is part of the gospel, salvation. And these signs shall follow them that believe. This is part of the gospel. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. That's part of the gospel. But somebody tried to do that today, later after the religious world gets upset and everything else, and says, oh man, what are we getting into now? That's part of the gospel. Casting out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If you know, Pastor, you're into something now I don't believe in. That's part of the gospel. I can't argue. I never wrote that. I never said that. Jesus said it. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And he's not talking about handling snakes and trying to act how stupid you are, you know, trying to prove your faith. He's not talking about it. He's talking about in a legitimate course of things as you're doing the ministry of God's word, God's work, God will protect you. That's what he's saying. But then he says, and they shall lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. He said, well, we don't believe in healing in our church. We're in the wrong church. I just could be blunt this morning. We don't believe in healing. Well, believe God's word. If you believe the gospel, you got to believe in healing. Some people say, well, that passed away with the apostles. Well, water baptism passed away with the apostles. All the other things passed away with the apostles. No. Salvation of your sins passed away with the apostles. No. It's all part of the gospel. It's part of the Great Commission. Go into all the world. And he said, lay hands on the sick. They'll recover. See, God doesn't want anybody sick. And Jesus knew that when he left the earth, he left it with his disciples. And for us generations to follow, that's going into all the world with the gospel. He lifted to us, reminded people there's healing available for them. See, the farther we got away from it, we brought in all kinds of religious teaching. We made God's word useless. That's what Jesus said. He said, you've made God's word of none effect. In other words, it can't do anything for you anymore because you believe too many wrong things. Get back to the word of God. Luke chapter 4, verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick, now get that? Anyone that was sick with divers diseases, and they brought them to him. Anybody that had any kind of disease, any kind of sickness, bring them to Jesus. You ever stop and think? A lot of times I say it this way. Sometimes we're just driving along so fast we don't see what's on the, you know. Sometimes it's nice just to slow down, put your arm out the window, just look around for a while. And if you do that when you're going through the scriptures, you'll see a lot of things. And I was reading the scriptures here, I don't know, probably about a year ago now. No, it wasn't that long. It was only since all this started taking place, so it was probably just a few months ago. just passed a 5-month anniversary a little while ago. So everybody said, it seemed like 5 years to me, but you know, it was only 5 months. But everything Job went through, he said, went through in 9 months. Sometimes we think that was all Job's life, but it was only 9 months. But listen, God restored him with twice as much as he had before. That's what we're believing for. But sometimes, you know, if you ever think about what it would have been like to live back there when Jesus was in town. I mean, his fame was gone throughout the land, the Bible says. Everybody knew he was a healer, and everybody knew that if I could only get to him, I could be healed. But the thing is, I mean, he never has cell phones and TVs and everything else to know where he's at all the time. So if he came to your town, man, you know, this was your day. And I'm sure there were neighbors and friends, same as us. You know, this one's got cancer, this one's got heart disease, this one's got bad back, this one's got bad legs, and this one's got bad eyes, and this one's got bad ears, and this one's got this problem, and this person is sick all the time. And, you know, there's all kinds of diverse diseases. And I'm sure if they knew Jesus was just down the market square and he's going to start healing people tonight, you'd be running around everybody you knew. Let's get down to Market Square. Let's get down where Jesus is. And that's what they did. Notice what they did here. When the sun was setting, all they that had any sick, with diverse kinds of diseases, diverse kinds of sicknesses, anybody that was sick, they ran after them and got them together and brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them. You imagine? He laid his hands on every one. There could have been hundreds of people there. I don't know. He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. See anywhere yet where he doesn't want to heal anybody? You see anywhere in the scripture that we've read so far that is not his will to heal? He's eager to heal us. Luke chapter 6, verse 17 and 19. He came down with them and stood at the plain, and a company of disciples, and notice again, a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, they were healed. And the whole multitude, now to get this again, the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went out virtue or power from him, and he healed them all. I mean, the whole multitude that came tonight wanted healing. And they knew, if I could only touch him, like the woman with the issue of blood, if I could only touch him, I know I'd be healed. Because he's a healing Jesus. Remember we sing that sometimes? Virtue, power went out from him. And he gave it freely. You just come. If you want healing, come. That's what he's saying. You know? And the Bible says here, he healed them all. The whole multitude that reached out to touch him. He healed them all. And the people, this is Luke chapter 9, verse 11, and the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake to them concerning the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. Every time he found somebody that needed to be healed, he healed them. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, we're winding this down now, you think, thank God. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, this is when Peter went down to Cornelius' house. This was another Roman centurion. And an angel appeared to him, and he wanted to be saved, so Peter went down to talk to him. And Peter is telling him how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, and notice this, and healing all that were oppressed of God. Is that what it says? Oppressed of who? The devil. Remember a lady one time, the Bible says she was bent over for 18 years like this. And Jesus saw her one time and he said, not this woman, he said, who's a seed of Abraham. In other words, she's part of the covenant blessings. He said, not this woman, and notice what he said, whom Satan has bound for 18 years. Ought not this woman to be loosed? See, it's the devil that's binding people. It's the devil that's putting sickness on people. If God was making me sick, I'd be foolish to go to the doctor. Just wait until I learn my lesson. Lie in bed until I learn or die, one or the other. I mean, religion is so stupid. Honestly. You just start thinking things through. If God is making you sick, don't pray for me anymore. Right? But God is not the one who's involved with this. This is the work of the devil. Jesus is our healer. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. James chapter 5, we've all read this. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. If you're merry, let him sing. He says, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And then he said, if he committed any sins, they'll be forgiven him. Some people say, oh, no. You got too much sin in your life. Get this straightened out first. Then God can deal with you. Here he says, you just come. He said, that'll be just part of the package. That's all part of the package. Salvation and healing came together. He said, if you get your healing, he said, your sins are already forgiven. 1 John 3 and 8. He said, and he that committed sin is of the devil. The devil sins from the beginning. Notice this, and I just quoted this a little earlier in the service. For this purpose, this is the reason Jesus came to the earth. One of the reasons. Obviously, he came to for salvation, for forgiveness of our sins. That was the ultimate purpose. But this is the reason, this is the purpose that Jesus came. He said, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And what did we see Jesus doing through all these scriptures that we saw? Healing the people, destroying the works of the devil. Don't ever let anyone convince you that God is making you sick. God is trying to teach you something. God put this on you because you did something wrong. That's religion. That's not the scriptures. 3 John 1 and 2, he said, beloved, I wish above all things. I mean, you look at your children sometimes and say, man, I wish above all things you get your life straightened out. I wish above all things you'd listen, you know. Or I wish above all things you have a good job, you know, healthy children, good family. Don't we all wish that for our families? John is saying here, he said, I wish above all things. And you got to understand, this is not just John saying this. This is the Holy Spirit inspiring us to write this. He said, I wish above all things that you may prosper, be in health. God wants us to be healthy, even as your soul prospers. Acts chapter 5, insomuch that they brought, this is verse 15, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might touch them. Because when Peter walked by, just his shadow. See, God wants to heal people so badly. God really wants to heal people. And as Peter was walking by, just his shadow, if it would touch somebody, God said, that's enough, that's my touch. And God healed them. So people start bringing people out into the streets and laying them on beds and couches that at the least, as Peter was walking by, might overshadow some of them. And there came also a multitude. Now, let's see this again. Here we got another big multitude coming. There came a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them that were vexed with unclean spirits. And they were healed, every one. And you say, well, that's Jesus. No, this isn't the disciples. This is after Jesus had gone back into heaven. This isn't the book of Acts. Right? He still wants that work going on. He still wants everyone healed. Acts chapter 28, verse 8 and 9, and we're just about winding up here now. It came to pass that the father of Publius, this is when Paul was on shipwrecked on Miletus, which is Malta today, and he was shipwrecked there, and there was a main person on the island. Anyway, let me read it. It came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others came also which had diseases, and the island came, and they were healed. Everywhere anyone that was associated with Jesus went, there was healing. When you see that circle, like at the bullseye, that means it's the last scripture. I put that there by myself, so I when I do that, I know I'm at the last one, I can clue up. So when you see that, you should be saying, amen. Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3, this is the ones we started it with. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits, all of his benefits. Forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. God is a healing God. There's not one scripture in there. I mean, I asked a question up front. Is it God's will to heal everyone of every disease, everywhere, all the time? Anybody changed their mind since from your first answer? I believe it's God's will to heal everyone. He's a healing Jesus. That's what he came for. This is the reason he came. This is the purpose he came, to destroy the works of the devil. Sickness and disease is a work of the devil. Jesus came to destroy that.